the Electric Eels of Parramatta.
Oh, the dummy by Kenny. He's going to go up the corner. Look at Ferguson coming across the gutter. And it's Kenny with a flicking bounce. Scores a try in the corner. Sterling looking for a hat-trick. Can he get there? It's a hat-trick for Sterling.
The Eels have won it. Mr. Perpetual Motion and Mr. Nice Guy, Michael Cronin, are held aloft. The siren has sounded and Parramatta has taken out their third premiership in a row. The Eels of Parramatta still rule supreme over the rugby league scene here in Sydney.
Welcome to episode 4 of the Parramatta's podcast. Great to have you with us. I am Barry, joined always by my good mate Bernie. How are you, buddy?
Very, very well. And yourself?
Mate, I was meant to go to Army Reserves last night. We got a message that got sent out saying, we need max attendance this Tuesday night. Everybody's got to turn up. All these big wigs are going to be there. So sure enough, I turn up, the gate's locked. And I'm like, what's going on here? And I sort of like start to push on the gate a little bit. And a corporal pops out from the building and he's like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, well, the other corporal sent out a message. Here it is saying we had to turn up. He's like, mate, no one's coming. And I'm like, oh, okay, no worries. Thinking, sweet, I'll just go home, watch a bit of TV, all good. And of course, I get a message from the corporal just before I start talking to you going, hey, I'm in isolation. I've had a close contact. So just be on the lookout for any symptoms if you've got COVID.
So but that's all right then, because you didn't get to see him.
Well, no, I was talking to him. I handed him something.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I'm just like, you're kidding me. Nobody else turned up. I was the only guy. And the only guy who turns up is with the only corporal there. And the only corporal there has had a close contact.
Yeah, I don't think they even worry about close contacts anymore. You know, so my sister, my nephew got it. And he brought it home. And then my brother-in-law got it off him. But my sister didn't get it. And all week she was like sick. She was like coughing and she's like, oh, I've got it. Testing, negative. And she tested 4 times before she got a positive result. And my nephew's already finished and he's out back to the pub. So I don't know how it works, man. Like it's, you know, it's a weird one. Like she tested negative 4 times and then pinged hot on the 5th. And I don't know what they're going to do with the season. I don't know. Surely the players, you know, I've heard that some of the players are have got it. So it's like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do this year?
Well, I saw that one of the coaches was talking about we need to expand the teams. You need to give us a bigger roster of players so that we can interchange them.
Yeah. Well, that's not a bad idea. I mean, but you do have 30. I was talking to a few lads and they're saying that the teams might be splitting into 15s, like, so that they've been training separately, so that they've, you know, always got a squad ready to go. But even that, you've got to imagine that a team's going to get struck out this season. You know, one weekend is just going to be no one that can play for them. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
It will indeed, mate. But moving on to the Parramatta's podcast, of course, the last 2 episodes we've been talking about the 2022 team, who we hope are COVID resistant this year. I will stay away from them so that they're not a close contact. And we've been going through it alphabetically. And this week, starting with Tom Opacic, buddy. What do we got to say about young Tom?
He's one of those guys you just really, you barrack for and you just want him to do well. And you just, he's got a big heart and he showed it last season with his brother passing away and he still turned up to play that week. And he seems like a lovely fella and you just really want him to do well, but he just seems to be a little bit short of first grade, I think. I don't know, like might be being too hard on him, but compared to the guys around him, he just seems a little bit off their level, but I want him to do well. So fingers crossed.
Well, he was 11th in most errors. And of course, I guess the high point when it came to his errors, if you can say high point, was in Mackay, the game that I went to, where we got rolled by the Roosters 28-0, and Gutho had that famous blow-up at him and dropped the C-bomb.
It went right round the ground, didn't it? It echoed through the stadium.
Yes, it did. I guess the funniest thing was him getting angry at someone where he had Guthrie had his little man bun on. Yeah. You know,
imagine someone with a man bun yelling at you. I mean, you know, it's hard to take.
You couldn't take it seriously. Come on.
Someone who does like a hip dance, you know, with a man bun and does the Guthrieno. It's very hard to cop the C-bomb from that guy without putting one on his chin. But he is the captain, so you've got to listen to him. I don't know. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on Tommy Boy?
I didn't think he had a stellar 2021, but no. let's just talk about the disruption of the season.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can make the case that some players adapted and some players didn't. Is that the case with him? Well, I guess 2022 is going to tell us, isn't it?
It will, yep. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one for him. Yeah, he seems to have good stamina as well, so he might be the last man standing. It might be a war of attrition for him come the end of the year. He might find himself there purely because he's got a big heart. So we'll see.
Mm. Isaiah Papali'i leaving us at the end of this year.
Yeah, I'm a bit dirty on him for leaving. I understand it. You show me the money. You know, and we bought him cheap and sold him rich. So I just hope that he doesn't turn off the afterburners for this year. I just hope that because he really put in big for us last year. He was huge. So I don't know. I don't know with him either. If he plays anywhere near what he played last year, it'll be beneficial to us. So I'm expecting big things, but we don't know. Uncertain.
Yeah, I tend to go with your point of view, which you've put forward on a few episodes about none of the players really come across as the type of guys who are going to take the foot off the pedal. There always was a little bit of chatter around Jarryd Hayne of he'd lift his game when his contract was up or he was looking to move clubs and then he'd sort of like rest on his laurels a little bit. And I don't think we're going to see that with Papali'i. And to be honest, I would also would like to credit our own team too for its culture. I just don't think we have that type of culture. I really don't. They come across as quite a cohesive unit. Yep. And again, I keep making this point that I'm on another NRL podcast, the Dummy M podcast, where we look at silly stuff that happens on the season. And the Eels were right down the bottom in terms of we were not a club who got involved in dumb sort of behaviour. So I think there is a strong culture there. And
you're not including Blake Ferguson's move to rugby and getting busted with the old nose fizz?
Wasn't a member of Parramatta when that happened, was he? It's funny because my co-host T-Dog, he's a mad Broncos fan, and he was so quick to point out, he was always very much like, you know, they weren't a player at midnight. It happened at 101. Whereas Fergo was overseas. He was in a different country, signed with a different club, different code. I still don't understand who punches on in a restaurant. I'm still not wrapping my head around that. I get a pub, I get a nightclub, but why are you punching on in a restaurant? I'm not quite sure. But returning to Isaiah, you know, he was 17th on the most tackle list. He was just a workhorse. And as you say, I think we got him for around $200,000 and a washer and a dryer. You know, we got him for a pretty cheap price. So
we got him cheap and good luck to him. I don't think any of them, like I've said, I don't think any of them are going to take their foot off the accelerator. I think they all want to have a big season. They all they're very competitive. And, you know, we haven't always been like that. You know, the Eels have had a bad history of, you know, pulling heart muscles halfway through a game. You know, we get 12 points behind and then they just stop playing. And we're not like that anymore. We'll fight right to the very end. We'll still give away a lead, don't get me wrong. But the boys seem to have real competitiveness, which I really love about them.
Absolutely.
The Parramatters podcast. For Eels fans everywhere.
Junior Paulo.
The alpha dog. He's the man. He is... We need him. We need him to have a big year. Him and Brownie up the front. It's weird because when you see front row forwards, you don't really see them and go... Well, you normally see them and go, I'm a bit scared of this guy. Like, you know, if I was on the field, I'd be like, oh, stay away from this guy. He's going to kill me. I'm going to... But with Junior, he seems like such a nice dude that he don't have that... He hasn't got that ferocity about him. Like, he doesn't seem very angry. he's just very calculated, but he's an absolute wrecking ball. And he's got a great offload. If he has another year like he has the last, well, 5 years, he's been on form, expect big things from the human wrecking ball. Not really a big defender. Yeah. He's really big on offense. Like, you give them the ball and he'll just charge it. But he has put a couple of big shots on, but he's not really known for his big shots. But he's mainly known for his attacking, his running. Yeah.
Mm. He does have that desire to compete in boxing as well, in professional boxing. So I guess it's fair to say there is a slight speculation around where's his head at in terms of, you know, is it in rugby league or is it in boxing or...
He seems to be doing boxing for a bit of fun, though. It seems to be like a bit of a lark. Like, he went the distance with Gallen. He did quite well against Gallen, and Gallen's obviously gone on to, you know, bigger things. I don't know, better things. I mean, he's made the most out of his limited ability, Gallen. And I don't think Junior has too many aspirations to become the next heavyweight boxing champion of the world or anything. I think he just likes to get in and have a bit of a swing, which kind of goes against what I was saying before. That, you know, he doesn't seem to be that aggro. So maybe he has got it in there. He just does it all behind a smile. I don't know.
Oh, I think he should just focus on league and practice his boxing skills against the Storm. I'd be happy if he did that.
Yeah, I think all would.
He did throw a punch. He did throw a punch very late in Origin in that third game.
I missed it totally.
I missed it totally. It was right on the try line and it was like, yay, the Maroons have scored, hooray. Oh, and Junior Paulo's on report. It was like, what just happened there? I didn't see what... Yeah,
it was a little uppercut, wasn't it? I think it was a little uppercut.
Kafusi, I think it was. Yeah, he smacked him one. So
once again, that goes against what I was saying as well. So yeah, maybe he is aggro. Maybe he just hides behind that smile.
I don't mind it if he hits the Queenslanders in the Origin match either. So Storm and Queensland players, yep, go for it. And that's perfectly fine.
Exactly.
Will Pennacini.
Wow, isn't everyone excited about this kid? Everyone's calling him the next big thing. And I agree. Everything we've seen of him from a young fella, 19, 20, has been so good. He has been on point with everything that he has done. Offense, defense, just waiting it out, waiting for his opportunity. He's got his opportunity. A lot of people are saying that he is the next Michael Jennings, hopefully without the alleged substance issues. but he is going to be... Lock him down. I mean, once again, I'm scared now. I'm really scared that all of our players are just getting, you know, taken. So I'm a little bit concerned that someone's going to offer him a big check and just off he goes. But have you seen where he grew up? Have you seen where he was born?
No.
Blacktown boy. Yep. So I dare say he's got the blue and gold running through his veins. If he's a local.
Yeah, nice.
Local junior, and he's got this skill. And if we look after him, we've got ourselves a fantastic center. And you've got to have him. So lock him down. I think we re-signed him last year. We extended his contract. So we do kind of have him locked down. But expecting big things, and everyone can see it. All the comments on all the forums, they're all, you know, eyeballing this kid and going, you know, he did a couple of special things last year. And considering that, you know, it was his first few games and he was flick passing and doing miraculous, you know, attacking raids down that right side, you know, with Fergo. So, you know, he pretty much had to do it by himself at that stage. But he was very exciting. Lock him down.
Hayes Perham.
Don't know too much about him. Nicked him from the Warriors, I believe. He can play... what does he play? I think he is 5'8 and a fullback, I think. I think his position of choice is 5'8. So it's good. It's good because we're not sure with Dillbags how his back's holding up.
Mm.
He seemed to be back into, you know, full strength last year, Dillbags. But if we lose our 5'8, it's good to have someone there to step in. And I don't know that much about him, in all honesty. I haven't seen him play that much. So, yeah, he's a bit of a wild card for me.
All righty, Mitch Rain.
Mitch Rain, who we have nicked off the Titans. I think he is a good backup. He's a backup for Reed. I was a big fan of his while he was at St. George. I didn't see him that much while he was at the Titans. He likes to go himself from the mark, and that's a good quality from a hooker. So if, you know, he puts the defensive line on the back foot. So if they're waiting for the hooker to dart out and dive in at their feet to score, they've got to plant their feet, and then he can pass it out wide. That's the logic behind it. But he's very good at scoring from dummy half. So a bit concerned about his age, but I think he's only there as a backup for Reed if Reed goes down again. And I think he's a great backup. I think, but I think he's only going to get a run if injury or COVID strikes down Reed. I'm not sure where Reed's at with his recoup, by the way. I'm not sure where he's at with his shoulder. I don't know if he's going to be starting. How long does it take to recover from shoulder surgery? I think he might be out for him. Yeah. So he might be starting the season. So that'll be interesting. Keep you on him. Yeah.
We have talked previously about the fact that we like to see players get blooded. So I'm all in favour of other players getting a run on the field and giving them some game time. So if he starts the season, then that can only be a good thing.
Yeah. I think there's a difference, though, between blooding a young player and blooding an old player. Like, he's an old player. I think you blood the young players because you just want to literally get them out there. But the older players, I think they're all right sitting on the bench because you don't want them to get injured. I don't think they can't play as many games. So I think they're good to go. I think when you get to that age, you're kind of a bit more of the mindset of you got to look after the body a bit more. So, but there's no point Reed getting us to the grand final and getting injured and then throwing in Mitch at the grand final and he hasn't played a game all season. So yeah, in that instance, it is good to blood him during the season. So
I think timing plays a role. I certainly understand what you're saying about injuries, but yeah. You know, it's like you've got to be in boxing. You've got to be fight sharp.
Yeah.
You know, those reflexes have got to be firing. So some game time is a good thing.
We do have the New South Wales Cup running this year, so they'll get plenty of game time. The biggest issue that we had the last few years was we didn't have the New South Wales Cup running. These guys were getting zero game time. Zero. And then you throw them in. And this is what happened to Hayes Dunster in, you know, the semi-final. He makes his debut and he hadn't played a game all year. He literally hadn't played a game. I think he played the trials for us and then throw him into a semi-final. Like, I don't care who you are. You could be the greatest player in the game. And, you know, everyone was saying that Pappenhausen was the greatest player in the game. And he came back from injury, hadn't played for a while. And he played like, you know, a dog turd. And then, you know, got his form back under him. So it's going to be much better having the New South Wales Cup running. So
to play devil's advocate here, not having New South Wales Cup running, of course, impacted all the other teams as well. So they were in that same boat.
Yep. 100%. So, but they weren't blooding a brand new player, a guy who's never played first grade before, throwing him in at a semi-final. So he's at his debut.
Of course.
So his debut, first ever first grade game, and he hasn't had any games that year. I think for certain players, the youngsters, I think they might have. But then again, they're mainly youngsters in the New South Wales Cup. So interesting. Don't know.
Sean Russell,
his preferred position is fullback. He debuted for us on the wing, scored 2 tries. And we haven't seen him since. So here's your debut, scored 2 tries, played fantastic, and see you later. Good to have a fullback. We need to have a standby, a fill-in fullback in case the King goes down or if there's a reshuffle in the halves and the King's got to go into the halves. Mm-hmm. It's good to have, you know, I think he's very much going to play the backup role. He's obviously not going to start over Gutho, but maybe on the wing. Young player. Yeah, haven't seen that much of him. I saw him play. He's played 2 games for us. I think only 1 in first grade, maybe 2. Definitely 1. Had a brilliant game. Scored 2 tries, and that's
it. And then benched.
Might be the secret score with 3, BA. So yeah.
Is go on, have a terrible game, and you might get another run.
You got more chance here. More chance of getting to see. Well, it's like, well, he didn't score in this game. I'll put him in another game and see if he can score in this game. Yeah, he's one of those players, Sean Russell, that I forgot about. he came on, made a fantastic debut, and then I forgot about him. And now I see he's back in the top 30. So he's obviously still progressing nicely with the New South Wales Cup. I don't know where his skill's going to be at, but as you said, it's across the board. All the young players coming through, they've all had a year off. It might be good for their young bodies. Like, maybe they've all had the year off, so because they've been playing a lot of footy to get to where they are, New South Wales Cup. So maybe their young bodies needed a year off, so it might increase their the duration of their careers. Who knows what this corona thing's going to do?
Well, if the English cricket team are anything to go by, all that isolation and sitting around led to more alcohol consumption. So maybe the year off isn't a good thing. Who knows?
They had a lot of gingers this year, the English cricket team, didn't they?
they did.
Yeah, they like bring all the gingers, all the potbelly gingers over. It was like the return to the old school English, the pasty white pom. Did you enjoy the Ashes?
Oh, it was great. It was awesome. I was a little bit disappointed. Obviously, I wanted cricket to go longer than it did.
Three days, you know.
You can't hate on it when we win.
Nah. I did see it was like 5 wickets down, and I thought, I liked the thing I do with cricket, which most people probably do, is you sit down and watch it for half an hour, have your lunch, and then you come back in 3 hours and sit down, have a coffee, and watch it for another half an hour. You know, keep coming back. That's why I like it to go 5 days. It's not that I'm sitting there the whole time watching it, but I saw it was 5 down on the last day. I just went, you know, I'm sitting down watching this. This thing's going to be over soon. So sure enough. Anyway.
If you've ever thought about starting your own podcast, then Buzzsprout is the platform for you. Buzzsprout is easy to use and you can upload a new episode within minutes. The platform has tons of features to help make your podcast sound great as well, like video tutorials, helpful Q&A sections, and a quick customer question page where you can get one-on-one support. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories, like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more, within minutes of finishing your recording. Following the link in our show notes lets Buzzsprout know we sent you, and if you sign up for a paid plan, you get a $20 Amazon gift card. So check out Buzzsprout today in our show links. Join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world.
Bailey Simonson.
Brilliant signing. Very happy with this one. He's going to play on the wing. He'll start on the wing for us until Sivo comes back. Now, when he played, we nicked him off the Raiders. When he played for the Raiders at fullback instead of the wing, he came into his own. He had some fantastic games at fullback. He was really, really good, really impressive. So, goes back to my Sean Russell, you know, you got to have a standby fullback if the King goes down. We've got two of them because Bailey can definitely play at fullback. He's a strong fullback. Very good signing. Very happy to have him in the team. I hope he can stay in the team. He's a first grade player. He's one of those guys, he plays better at fullback. He does a couple of crazy things on the wing, but it seems to be most wingers do crazy things. So I just hope that he doesn't get on the wing, do crazy things, and then gets kicked out of the team, and then that's the end of him. Because when we first got Gutho, when we first bought Gutho from Manly, he was on the wing, and he had some shockers. And I remember everyone on the forums saying, why did we buy this guy? This guy's a chucklehead, you know, and you look what he's gone on to do. So I think Bailey's going to be the same. He comes into contention with the reshuffle as well. Like if we lose Mitch or Dillbags, and Gutho's got to go into the halves. And Bailey goes back to fullback. Sean goes onto the wing. Who knows? Who knows? But I love that we bought him. He's a brilliant signing.
I think he's a great addition. And I think from his perspective, coming from a club like Canberra, where they had some cultural issues last year, and it sort of seems to dog Ricky Stewart wherever he goes, I think he sort of has a very hard-headed approach and it's not always welcomed. So yes. I think it'll be a breath of fresh air to come and get involved in the culture of our club.
Fully agree with what you just said. And Raiders, they in the grand final, and from that, they've gone to just exploding. I mean, it's ridiculous what's happened to them. And you have to say it's all down to Ricky just threatening them. I don't know. He does take that hard-edged approach. And not all players respond to that. Not all players like being yelled at. They're grown-ass men. They don't like being yelled at. Very much assuming, because I don't know, but it's definitely something happened at the Raiders this year, last year. And I think Bailey will go well under BA. BA seems to be a little bit more calmer. So, we'll see.
Micah Sivo.
I have 100% gone sour on the Sivo.
Wow.
I just don't see him putting in. You know, he is a physical specimen. He's apparently just rock hard from what all the players have said. He runs at you. He's just like granite. But when he runs after a ball, he just seems to be lumbering through. Or the commentators call it as well. It's not just my one-eyed eel eye calling this. He just seems to lumber after the ball. And I've seen highlights of him running at full pelt, and he is a speedster. So I don't know what's going on with him. I think a bit of time off and a bit of competition will do him. It'll be no end of it'll be no end of goodness. It'll be fantastic is what it's going to be. It's going to be fantastic for you. I think he needs competition for his spot. I think he was just calling it in, and he was more than happy to pass me the ball. I'll just barge over the try line. But he didn't like to run in defense. He didn't like to chase after the ball. So I've gone sour on him, and I'm a big fan of Hayes. Maybe that's why I've gone sour on him. I don't know. But Hayes on one side, Bailey on the other. That's the team. And I think Mike has got to prove himself to get back into the team. I hope that he doesn't just put up his hand and say, I'm fit, and then they straight away put him in the team. I'd like to see him do some New South Wales Cup games and earn his spot back. So, yeah, sour on the Sivo.
I'm predicting they put him straight back in without the New South Wales Cup. That's what I'm thinking. He was our top try scorer with 17 tries.
Yeah.
And that's with the injury as well. As you say, incredibly powerful, and the way you described it is, you know, unstoppable from 10 metres out. Yep. But every other aspect of his game is just, yeah, he's never near the line. He's often reacting. Someone runs past him and suddenly he's like, oh, hang on. And he's that step behind. I know he's fast, but he should be near the line. This is what annoyed me about that guy.
So he's scored the most tries. I wonder how many tries he let in. Like, there were so many times he was off his wing. But another point I'm going to raise here, he's a big sook. Every time he gets tackled, he's getting up, holding the back of his neck, and he's got a sore neck, and he's got tackled sideways, and gone sour on him.
Okay. Well, my advice to you, Sivo, is when you retire, is go into advertising like kitchen taps, and because, mate, that's his performance, mate. He's hot, he's cold, he's hot, he's cold, he's, yes. Yeah, he's on and off, and that's what he is.
And he charges like a plumber as well, so.
Ray Stone.
Very sad. I don't think we looked after Ray. I don't think we looked after him at all. Probably our best defender. If you had to run at one of the players, he would be the last player that you would choose to run at, because he absolutely folds people in half. I think he's going to have a brilliant season. Where's he gone? He's gone to the Dolphins, hasn't he? He's gone up to the... So I think he's going to have a big year. If he gets game time, I hope he does. And he is going to be a starting player for the Dolphins, and he is going to be a hard man. You just need him in your team. You need that guy. You could put two weak defenders either side of him and no one's getting through there, because he hits just as hard on his left, on his right. He picks people up. He can wrestle. He seems to be able to take a hit and then get up and, you know, just shake it off. And I met him. I went to the trial game down at Bega, and I met him and we got a few photos. What a lovely guy. Such a lovely guy. He's... I think it's a big loss. I think we should have found a home for him. Maybe throw him a bit more money, a contract. I don't know. He never seemed to be in the starting 17. He was only ever there if someone was injured. I think there's a few games he earned his spot, but sad to see him go.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a loss, but as you say, we can't keep him all.
Nope, can't keep him all.
And to be fair, I don't think, and it's early days, I mean, I'm aware of that, but I don't think the Dolphins have had a great coup in terms of a lot of their signings. So in one way, I'm actually glad that they're starting to, because there's no point in putting a team in that's just going to be at the bottom of the ladder. You want to generate some excitement. So at least they've got a couple of names who are going to do some good.
Yeah. That being said, I don't know if Ray Ray's going to win you a game. He's going to be a great contributor. The Dolphins definitely need to sign some playmakers. they still need their marquee signing, I think, the Dolphins.
Absolutely. And lastly, we have three players in development. What are your thoughts?
Well, the big standout for me is Kai Rodwell. I think he's a player of the future. He's going to be an enforcer. He's going to be one of the big forwards of our game, I think. Just from seeing him and play one game against the Panthers, which we lost, I could just tell by his attitude, the way that he was not taking any backward steps, very aggressive, very powerful. He was very strong in defence, very strong in defence. I'd love to see more of him. I'd love to see some more plays from him. So hopefully we get to see him playing this year. We only got the one game against the Panthers when we rested the entire team. So he got a start then. So if BA decides to rest the entire team again, maybe we'll get to see him. But hopefully it doesn't take that.
Yeah, once again, your COVID might play in our favour here. If it strikes at the right time, and we don't have a finals run like we have for the past 2 years, which is just Mount Everest steep, and we get hit where, you know, we're playing some fairly sort of middling teams, and we've got a field guys like in development, then that might be a great opportunity for us to make some lemonade out of the lemons of COVID.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. I think it actually held us back. We spoke about this a lot, that I think that BA's reluctance to mix the players up really cost us, because when Reed did go down, I mean, throwing in Ray Stone at hooker against the Panthers in a final, I mean, he was never going to last the 80 minutes. Towards the end of the game, he started, you know, throwing the ball sideways, and it still wasn't a knock on, but he did, you know, throw the ball along the ground. And you could see that he was physically tired. He was tired. He was still wanted to be there. He was trying his best, but he hadn't been playing that role. And then once again, you know, you come finals time and you start mixing up the team then, because you got no choice. It doesn't make sense. I mean, I'm not going to start criticizing BA just yet. At the start of the season, we'll let him
give it time.
Yeah, like I am one of those. I hate it when people get on and they're like, oh, you're not a true fan because you're like, you're dissing the coach, or, you know, how many first grade teams have you coached? It's like, none. But I've watched for like, you know, 40 odd years. I mean, surely that gives me some sort of entitlement to have an opinion on whether or not the coach is rotating the bench correctly or not. And so I will voice my opinion, but I'll bite my tongue for now until we see what BA does. I love BA. BA is the man for the job. I'm just hoping that having the two extra coaches by his side will be that little incentive that he needs to pull the trigger on a few decisions. So we'll see.
And that is a wrap on our 2022 team. So, mate, that was three episodes where we went through the entire team roster. And next week, obviously, we're going to move on, start talking about the season ahead, see what's coming up, see how training's been going. But, mate, thanks very much for joining us today and promoting the Facebook page, I would imagine you would be.
Yeah, jump in to the Parramatters group. Just do a search for Parramatters on Facebook and you'll get sent to our group, and you should be automatically accepted, I think. I think I've only set it to accept everyone at the moment, because I assume anyone who's listening at the moment is a Parramatta fan, so not a Manly fan in disguise who wants to get in there and be a disruptor. So we'll keep an eyeball out for them when it grows a bit bigger. But for now, yeah, it's just open slather, so... put a search in for Parramatters and join the conversation.
And of course, you can catch me also on the Dummy M podcast with T-Dog every week. And we pick three dumb moments in sport and we try and decide who the biggest chucklehead is. So you can catch us on all the major podcasting platforms. Bernie, always great, mate. And no doubt we'll catch up same time next week.
Click go the Eels.
Click go the Eels.
The Parramatters podcast. Because fuck Melbourne.